So here we are, folks. Episode 3 of the InCast Screenwriting Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the Writers Guild of America Awards. And anyone watching this who isn't, because no one's watching this, you'll see I have a microphone attached to my face. I'm just trying to see if I can record this through Anchor, this new podcast app that I just started using. And it's a pretty cool way to help distribute your podcast once it's recorded. So I think using that Anchor and along with the YouTube recordings and whatnot is helping me get out on multiple platforms. But that's just other stuff. I'm here to talk about The Blacklist, not The Blacklist. Writers Guild of America Awards. As you can see, visually, I'm on the Writers Guild of America website at awards. If you go to awards.wga.org, it'll have this year's awards, and it's got like awards timeline, photo galleries, history of all that, but I'm just right on the page that shows the actual nominations and winners. And also, keep in mind, I haven't watched every single one of these movies that got nominated, so I can't really comment on every movie or whatnot, and if it was, you know, good or not, or whatever. So the nominees for Original Screenplay, Best Original Screenplay nominees, 1917, written by Sam Mendes and Christy Wilson Carnes. Booksmart, written by Emily Halpern, Sarah Haskins, and Susanna Bogle, and Katie Siberman. That's strange, the way they separate the "and." It's like Emily and Sarah, then it's like "and Susanna Bogle and Katie Siberman." That's like what happens when multiple people write a script, I guess. They need to figure out how to, like, credit the people who wrote it. And next nomination, Knives Out, written by Rian Johnson. Just one person. It's always nice to see one person on a script as opposed to four. Marriage Story, written by Noah Baumbach. And Parasite, written by Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won. And that is the winner. The winner for Original Screenplay is Parasite, which we shouldn't be surprised because Parasite did pretty well this year. And I actually just happened to watch it the other day. So, it's a great movie. Lots of good twists. A little goofier than I thought it would be, actually. Like, kind of silly in a way, but that weird, silly Asian humor that's not in North American films. So, Best Adapted Screenplay, the nominees are A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, written by Mika Fitzerman-Blue and Noah Harpster. Irishman, written by Steven Zalian. Jojo Rabbit, written by Taika Waititi. Joker, written by Todd Phillips and Scott Silver. A Little Women, written by Greta Gerwig. And the winner was Jojo Rabbit by Taika Waititi. I actually haven't seen that yet, so I cannot comment on the movie at all. Nominations for Documentary Screenplay. Citizen K, written by Alex Gibney. Foster, written by Mark Jonathan Harris. The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley, written by Alex Gibney. And that one was the winner. The other two nominations, Joseph Pulitzer, Voice of the People, written by Robert Sedman and Oren Rudavsky. And The Kingmaker, written by Lauren Greenfeld. The winner of that category was The Inventor. Out for Blood in Silicon Valley, written by Alex Gibney, produced by HBO Documentaries. Well, of course, HBO, they win everything. They win every year. Ugh. Okay, I don't think I'm not gonna read out every single writer for the television, new media, and news nominees, because every single nomination's got like 20 writers. But here are the nominations for series drama: The Crown on Netflix, Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, Mindhunter on Netflix, Succession on HBO, and Watchmen on HBO. And the winner was Succession. I have not seen that at all. I actually have no idea what that's about, whatsoever. The Watchmen is a show that I need to get done watching because a lot of people are like, it's really good. I was curious to see how people would think of The Watchmen because it's a very beloved comic series, and the film came out, and the film was up and down for a lot of people. I liked it, but I'm not a hardcore Watchmen dude, so I don't know how closely it was to the comics and whatnot. So, nominees for Best Comedy Series: Barry. Of course, that's Bill Hader's show on HBO. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, that one again, on Prime Video. Pen 15 on Hulu. Russian Doll on Netflix, which I've watched some of, not all of. That's pretty funny, though. And Veep. Again, Veep's been quietly, like, winning awards for years, and no one seems to pay attention to it at all. I don't know why. It's the HBO show with Julia Louis-Dreyfus playing, like, the president's vice president or something. That's, like, one of those shows that I keep saying, I need to go watch that. Just like the second season of Barry, I haven't finished watching that yet. But anyways, the winner was Barry again. So Bill Hader's had a couple good years, because he won a bunch of awards last year for Barry, and now he's winning again. So, Best New Series, okay. So, the nominees are Dead to Me on Netflix, Pen 15 on Hulu. That's weird. So, New Series and Comedy Series, you can get both nominations for that. Didn't know that. Russian Doll on Netflix, Watchmen on HBO, and What We Do in the Shadows on FX. And the winner was Watchmen on HBO. Cool. Original Long Form. Only four nominations. Chernobyl, written by Craig Mazin on HBO. And that was actually the winner out of all these categories. The Terror. Oh no, a new season of The Terror is out. Whoa. I gotta go check that out. The first season of Terror was sweet. So this is The Terror. Infamy. So that means it's like, I'm honestly not even looking at what's up with that. It's probably like a whole new different storyline and new characters and whatnot. But The Terror, Infamy, AMC Togo on Disney Plus, which I don't even know what that is, and True Detective on HBO. And the winner was Chernobyl. Okay, I have to look up The Terror, Infamy. Now it's another show I need to add to my huge list of shows I need to get through, because I remember the first season of Terror was 2018, and I really liked that show. So it's a completely different story. Wait, is this even connected? I don't even know how this could be connected. It's still TV, it's still The Terror, it's still AMC. But it's a completely different storyline, not even anywhere connected at all. It's all about Japanese horror. That's strange. Is this still connected? This is confusing. The first season was about a ship in like the 1800s, and I thought it was called The Terror because the ship was called The Terror. But now it's like, maybe it was never supposed to be called the name of the boat was never The Terror. I don't know. See, that's the thing. I thought the boat was called The Terror, so it was about that's what. But now the second season of The Terror. It's about supernatural. Well, the first one was supernatural as well. but it's like Japanese horror stuff. Okay. Yeah, set during World War II, the haunting, suspenseful second season of a horror-infused anthology, The Terror. It centers around a series of bizarre deaths that haunt a Japanese-American community. Alright. That is not actually what I was expecting the second season of that show to be at all. So maybe it's just The Terror. It's like, you know, American Horror Story. Same kind of thing. It's basically AMC's version of American Horror Story. Alright, I got a little off track there. Just wanted to check that out because I want to know what that's about. It's too many shows. It's like frustrating now to try to like... I don't know. It's almost too hard to try to be a guy, a person that or that wants to continue stay up on shows. Because like... If you're like someone like me, I usually almost to the point where I wait for the season to be over, then I just watch it all in one big block. It's all because of Netflix. It ruined everyone's life. Okay, adapted long form. El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, which was fucking terrible. And that didn't win, thank God. That movie was a slap in the face to every Breaking Bad fan in the world. Foss Verdon. Don't really know what that is. Foss slash Verdon is the name of the title. And that's FX show. Loudest Voice. Bass. On Showtime, and Unbelievable is on Netflix, and the winner was Foss Verdon from FX, and I have no idea what that's about. Original short form new media, there's only two nominations, Ever After on Prime, and Special on Netflix, and Special was the winner. Animation. Weird, so I thought... So this is like animation, but it's like an episode of a certain specific show. And it's funny because it's interesting that still after all these years, The Simpsons still gets lots of nominations and they win. So Bed Bob and Beyond from Bob's Burgers, Gene Mile from Bob's Burgers, Go Big or Go Homer, The Simpsons, A Horse Walks Into a Rehab, BoJack Horseman, Livin' La Pura Vida. Livin' La Pura Vida, Simpsons, Thanksgiving of Horror, The Simpsons, and the winner was Thanksgiving of Horror. So see, The Simpsons are still winning things. Like, a million years later, still winning shit. Like, our show's been around for, like, longer than any show ever now, basically. Ooh, episodic drama. Nominations are 407 Proxy, Authentication Required, Mr. Robot. Amazing show, Mr. Robot is amazing. A Good Man is Hard to Find, Ray Donovan, Mirror Mirror, The OA. Is there a new season of The OA out now? I don't know. Moondust from The Crown. Our Little Island Girl, This Is Us, Turn Haven, Succession, which was the winner. Episodic Comedy, Here's Where We Get Off, Orange is the New Black. Is Comedy or Cabbage, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Nice Knowing You, Living With Yourself, Pilot of Dead to Me, which is a Netflix show, and that was the one that was actually the winner. The Stinker Thinker for On Becoming a God in Central Florida, and Veep. Oh, really? The show is called Veep, and you wrote an episode called Veep. Give me a break. The show's been on for that long, and you only now decide to title an episode after the name of your show? That's weird. Alright, comedy variety talk shows, and the nominees are Conan on TBS, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee on TBS. Is all TBS just talk shows now or something? I don't know. Last Week Tonight with John Audubon on HBO, and that was the actual winner. The other nominees are Late Night with Seth Meyers, boring, Late Late Show with James Corden, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Everyone's just late. Comedy variety specials, Desi Lydic Abroad, some Comedy Central thing. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee presents Not the White House Correspondents' Dinner Part 2. And that was actually the winner. The late, late Joe Carpool Karaoke, blah, 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 blah. From James Corden, whatever. Rami Youssef, Feelings, written by Rami, I don't know. Okay. I'm getting out of, like, control here, because it's weird. Nominees. Comedy Variety Sketch Series. At Home with Amy Sedaris. True TV. What is that? Huh. I Think You Should Leave. Yeah, that one won. Oh my god, I'm actually glad that one won, because oh my F, is that ever funny. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson on Netflix is the winner. It's funny because that won, and it was like, every episode was like 20 minutes long, if even. And then Saturday Night Live, of course, because Saturday Night Live gets nominated every single year, and sometimes it still wins. This year it did not. It's funny though, I think some Netflix show that was like 10 episodes, about 20 minutes long, still beat out Saturday Night Live. I guess that shouldn't matter. Quiz and audience participation. So these TV shows are getting nominated? They have an actual category for quiz and audience shows. Huh. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? On Nickelodeon, and that was actually the winner. Hollywood Game Night. NBC. Jeopardy, still, of course. ABC, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? On ABC. Daytime Drama, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, Young and the Restless. Basically, the three kings of daytime soap operas are still the kings. And the winner was Young and the Restless. Children's Episodic Long Form and Specials. It's Just Weird on Netflix. Oh, from Alexa and Katie. Remember Black Elvis from Family Reunion on Netflix, and that was the actual winner. Again, this is the Children's Episodic Long Form and Specials. Remember how this all started on Family Reunion, Netflix? Stupid Binder, Alexa and Katie on Netflix. Time to Make My Move. Oh, Jim Henson's Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. So that's children's episodic. They consider Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, children. Because it's almost borderline not. The entire section was just Netflix. Yeah. And two of them was the same show. Two noms for Family Reunion, two noms for Alexa and Katie. No idea what those shows are even about. But the winner was Remember Black Elvis, Family Reunion. Documentary script, current events. Cole's Deadly Dust from Frontline. The Mueller Investigation, Frontline. Trump's Trade War, Frontline. And the winner. It was all Frontline, every episode. So, the Trump's Trade War was the winner. Documentary script, not current events, Chasing the Moon Part 1. Place Beyond the Sky, American Experience, Right to Fail, Frontline. That was the winner on PBS. And Supreme Revenge, Frontline, also on PBS. Same show again. Okay, this is weird because there's only one nomination in the entire section, so why would you even bother? Terror in America, the massacres in El Paso and Dayton. So yeah, that's weird. It's only one actual nomination, so it's the only winner, because it's the only nomination. Why even bother? News, scripts, analysis, feature, and commentary, Atlanta Episode 3. Okay, this isn't... For a second there, I'm like, Atlanta, you mean that show? I haven't even watched that show in a while. News, script, analysis, feature, or commentary. Atlanta Episode 3 from TheRoot.com, Fly Like an Eagle on CBS News, and that was the winner. That was on 60 Minutes. Tis the Season, Here's How Jesus Became So Widely Accepted as White. That's from TheRoot.com. Toxic Water Crisis Still Haunts This New York Town on HuffPost. Okay, so things on HuffPost.com and TheRoot.com are being nominated and winning. Digital News, The Gridiron of Their Own, written by Kelsey McKinney and Deadspin. Stories About My Brother from Jezebel.com. That was the winner. Radio audio nominees. So these are like actual radio, or is it podcasts? I don't know. CBS News on the Hour with Nora O'Donnell. Hail and Farewell, remembering some headline makers. That was the winner. CBS News Radio. Woohoo. And World News This Week, August 9th, 2019. World News This Week, September 13th, 2019. Strange. It's just interesting to see what they actually nominate. Like, it starts off with shows and it ends up in, like, online, like, stuff. Radio or, like, news stuff. Let's see. Radio audio news script analysis feature or commentary. This is another section now. The enduring legacy of Jackie Kennedy Onassis. That's the winner on CBS News Radio. And the other nominee was Woodstock, Back to the Garden. Written by Gail Lee, CBS News Radio. Promotional writing nominees. So you can like win for just writing a promo. So CBS promos. Weird. It's like everyone is just CBS. And there's three nominations. CBS promos, star.kill.evil.fbi on CBS, and Star Trek Picard. And that was the winner. Star Pack, the promos for Star Trek Picard. Why can't I say it? Star Trek Picard. That was the winner. So that's all the categories of the Writers Guild of America, even though near the end it's like, what is this stuff? I didn't even understand. But for originals, the two that I only really care about are the original and adapted. Original again was Parasite, which has been winning everything, and then adapted was Jojo Rabbit by Taika Waititi. And that's based on the book called Caging Skies. So that was me going over the Writers Guild of America winners for 2020. They announced them on February 1st, I believe. Well, this just makes me think of how many more things I need to watch. Meanwhile, all I really want to do is just game out on my PS4. Alright, so now I'm going to go over to Deadline.com and check out any new screenwriting news for the week. Because, I don't know, if Deadline and Variety and a couple other sites are good for giving you pretty constant, like, updates. So what's the latest in screenwriting news on Deadline.com? And this is an order of, like, the latest. So the most current news is from the 11th of February, and it's about Dee Reese to write and direct new movie adaptation of George Gershwin's Porky and Bess for MGM and Winkler Films. That sounds boring. Okay, next on the line. Yeah, the WG Awards I just did, so that's like part of the news as well. But I don't need to cover that again. Let's see, the second piece of news, Julian Fellowes to pen script for The Wind and the Willows movie. Well, that's interesting. I remember watching, like, Wind and the Willows, like, on PBS or something like that. And they had, like, people wearing, like, really sweet costumes and, like, it was really good production value. And this was, like, long time ago. I'm talking, like, 80s or 90s, maybe. But Julian Fellowes is going to write the script for the Wind and the Willows movie. Downton Abbey creator Julia Fellowes has been set to write the screenplay for The Wind in the Willows, a feature adaptation of Kenneth Grahame's classic English tale. Ray Griggs is aboard to direct the project, which will be shot at Peter Jackson's Stone Street Studios in Wellington, New Zealand. Well, of course, Jackson's Weta Digital is handling the CGI of the mole, rat, toad, and badger. So Fellowes actually wrote the book for A Wind in the Willows musical, and yeah, so they did a musical, whatever, man, that's crazy. They just... turn everything into everything. Like, I didn't know The Wind in Willows was a musical, but no, of course it is. Huh. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by all the articles around this article. But yeah, that's interesting. Julian Fellowes. I didn't know he was the guy that created Downton Abbey because I've never seen that show, so. But, I don't know, he's the creator of the show and he's going to almost pen a screenplay after being a showrunner. Is interesting. Because it's almost like, kind of a step back in a way, just because being a showrunner is like the best job you could have as a screenwriter. So Deadline. Yeah, they're just talking about the WGA. I'm just looking for anything interesting to talk about. Okay, here we go. Lionsgate buying graphic novel horror mimetic for The Batman. Co-writer Mattson Tomlin to script. Point Grey and Boom Studios producing. Let's see. So it's something to do with the Batman, but I don't think it's actually... I think they're just using the Batman as a hook to get people interested in reading this or something. Let's see. Lionsgate buying graphic horror novel mimetic for the Batman. Oh, they're buying a book. So Lionsgate bought a book called Mimetic. And some guy named co-writer Mattson Tomlin to script. So they're just using the Batman because that's... So the Batman script is already written. Alright, so Lionsgate has landed the feature spec Mimetic from Mattson Tomlin, who co-wrote the Batman script with director Matt Reeves, based on the Boom Studios graphic novel of the same name by James Tynion and Eric Donovan. The project was brought to Lionsgate by Point Grey's Seth Rogen. Well, of course. Evan Goldberg, obviously. And Seth Rogen has been doing so much behind the scenes now, like... become so much more of a producer, writer, director. It's like acting and stuff has like become like third or fourth to him now. In Mimetic, all hell breaks loose when a mysterious meme goes viral in a college campus. Making anyone who sees it turn obsessive and violent as the meme spreads and grows out of control. A ragtag group of students must risk everything in order to survive the viral outbreak and try to stop it. Well, that's not at all what I thought it would. What I thought that would be, something called Mimetic, but that's interesting. I like the idea. Obviously, because memes are hugely popular now. And although I hate the use of the word ragtag, please stop using ragtag or say that they must risk everything. It's just so overused. Yeah, so Point Grey is coming off the success of Good Boys, which grossed $110 million off a $20 million budget. Okay, so Point Grey, and they also did The Boys on Amazon Prime, which was a great show. Whoa. That's cool, though. Madsen Tomlin, after doing the Batman, did a rewrite of Mega Man. See, everyone's trying to get video games off the ground. Like, they just did Sonic, and that did it pretty good. They had Pikachu last year. They want to do a Mega Man game. I'm telling you, video game movies are gonna blow up. A couple more years, they're gonna blow up. I'm telling you right now. Listen to my show. 2 years from now, you'll be like, man, Tim was right. Video game movies are everywhere now. What's the MCU? I don't even know. It's the VCU. Video game universe, whatever. The VGU. Video game universe. He has Power in production on Netflix with Jamie Foxx starring. And the indie feature Little Fish in post-production, which he wrote and produced along with Atomic, Tango Entertainment, and Black Bear Pictures. So this Tomlin dude's busy. He's like writing Batman, writing Mega Man. He's like doing some thing called Power, which is like, I swear there's like 3 or 4 shows out that are called Power right now. I could have swore that was already a show a couple years ago. Alright, so that's that news. Sophia Loren still doing movies? I'm just seeing random stuff here and I'm like getting distracted. There's a news about like Harvey Keitel's trials and stuff along the side here, so I'm just trying to like not read that and get distracted by it because I want to follow the news of screenwriting. Something about Little Women, Greta Gerwig. So there's something here about winning an award. Greta Gerwig won a writing award at the USC Scripter Awards, which I didn't even know was a thing. Greta Gerwig took home top honors Saturday night at the 32nd annual USC Library Scripter Awards for Little Women, her adaptation of the Louisa May Alcott novel. Well, this is old news because, yeah, it mentions here in the article that she... That's interesting. I'll get to that part. Little Women is the book of my life. Reading and rereading this book made me the woman I am today, Gerwig said. This is extraordinary. I am very honored. I didn't attend USC, but I truly love this library. I never heard of the Scripter Awards, so it's like the actual university gives out their own awards. So it's interesting that they say this article came out like what? I don't know. January. So the Oscars didn't come out yet because in the article they're like, This win makes Gerwig the frontrunner for the Best Adapted Screenplay Academy Award, which would be her first Oscar, but we all know she didn't win, so there you go. Also, they talk about in the TV category, the scripter went to Phoebe Waller-Bridge for the first episode of Amazon Prime's Fleabag, based on her play. Oh yeah, I've never seen Fleabag. I keep hearing about it though. I feel like I should watch that. Again, I'm getting sidetracked with like other news, because if you're not watching or listening, then you're just hearing me breathing and stuff and scrolling through shit. Yeah, so these scripter awards are, I don't know, whatever, a thing that USC gives out. So let's see. Bad Boys 4 in the works with Chris Bremer aboard to write. So, I haven't seen Bad Boys for Life, but supposedly it's actually okay, you know. I guess that's lately a lot of things. Movies coming out and they're like, yeah, it's alright. Like, I went to see Birds of Prey and I expected it to be trash, but it wasn't, so, you know, it's alright. There's something here about the Joker. The wild ride of Hollywood's wild card success continues. I don't know, is Joker considered a wild card? I guess. Let's see. Yeah, I'm just here on Deadline waiting for this Joker Wild Ride for Hollywood article to load. So this is an article from January 12th. So this is back before an interview with Anderson Cooper and Joaquin Phoenix. It says it will cap a seriously strong 7-day run. And again, this is like a week after Phoenix won the Globe for Best Actor, and we also know that he officially won the Oscar as well, which is pretty tight. For his darkly hypnotic performance in The Joker. Yes, and also won for Best Original Score. Over the next 3 days, Joker built more trophy momentum by adding 11 BAFTA nominations, the most for any film this year, a PGA nomination as one of the 10 films vying for the Daryl F. Zanuck Award, and a WGA nomination for the remarkable script written by Phillips and Scott Silver. Someone says it's remarkable. I don't know. Controversial movie's resonance isn't limited to the Hollywood award circuit either. Joker was released 101 days ago amid anxieties about its malevolent imagery, but that only added to the edgy aura of the film that promised to reframe the origin story of the Joker, the most iconic supervillain in comic book history, and a screen character who's already rivaled Hannibal Lecter, Michael Myers, and Norman Bates among Hollywood's most celebrated homicidal maniacs. The result? Joker now stands as the first $1 billion rated movie in box office history. That is crazy. Joker also continued to burrow into the zeitgeist in fascinating ways. This past week, for instance, Burger King premiered a new commercial spoofing the film's signature scene on the Bronx stairs. Quirky ad offers free Whoppers to New Yorkers for putting up with all the tourists now flocking to the landmark to reenact Phoenix's precarious stereotyping jig. Really? They're gonna give free Whoppers to anyone who's annoyed by people doing that? How do they know? You walk in and say, yeah, I just saw someone dancing on the stairs. I'm annoyed. Here's your free Whopper. I don't get how that works. I could just walk in and be like, yeah, I'm annoyed. Here's your Whopper. What? What did it just say? Phoenix himself started this weekend with the sound of handcuffs. What? 45-year-old was arrested on Washington during a climate change political... What? Give me a break. They arrested him of anyone they could have arrested. Like, we're going to arrest the famous guy just to piss everybody off. You guys are dicks. I didn't know he did that, though. That's confusing. They just use the word native twice in the same paragraph, and I'm like, what do you mean? Phoenix himself started this weekend with the sound of handcuffs. The 45-year-old native was arrested Friday in Washington, D.C. during a climate change political protest. And it finishes it amid grim news dispatches from his native Puerto Rico. You just said native twice. Is he from Washington or from Puerto Rico? What are you talking about? Yeah, so they're just talking more about the Oscar nominations, which at this point in the article he hadn't won yet. They talk a little bit about the two, but Joker 2, but I don't know. Doesn't sound like they want to do a sequel. And they probably will. I mean, they probably will be forced to do a sequel. It made $1 billion, so now they have to do a sequel. Like, what are you going to do, right? It's a long article. I just wanted to read about. Again, I'm getting distracted by other articles. Alright, well, I'm just covering the screenwriting news that's happened recently. But that's it for that, I think. I mean, yeah, I'm just reading a bunch of different articles here, seeing anything interesting or new. Deadline has a screenwriting category that you can look through and see what's new, what's happened. You can look up the weekend box office, see who did what last weekend, because it's Tuesday now. Top 10 domestic films through February 10th. This seems like it's a week old already. Yeah, it's interesting with Sonic the Hedgehog came out last weekend, and it hit 70 million in 4 days. The best domestic opening for a video game property ever, because video game movies are gonna start becoming a big thing, I'm telling you. It's already made over 100 million worldwide. Yeah, so what else? Nope, nothing else that I can talk about today. I just wanted to cover the current news about anything. I need to come up with better episode ideas, like an actual idea that I could focus on for an entire episode, instead of just reading stuff that I see online. But I wanted to do another episode. Tuesday is a good day of the week to do it. For anyone who's not listening, you should give me some ideas of what I should do an episode about. What type of screen writing ideas should I talk about? Give me some ideas. I want you to tell me. I don't know how to make this turn off. Well, that's it for me, I guess. This is the episode 3 of me winging it again, just to say I have a podcast. Because I want content, I want stuff to be out there. I'm just trying to get my screencasting program to, like, close properly. But this is it. This is episode 3 of the Inkcast screenwriting podcast. This episode's gone 45 minutes, but I need to edit it down because, well, that's it for me. That's it. This is the episode. That's episode 3 of the Inkcast, and I talked about the Writers Guild of America Awards, and I'm sure that was super interesting to you. Stay tuned. I want to do more episodes. I want to get everything on YouTube and podcasts on everywhere. So anyone who's listening, tell your friends about this. Get it out there. I want to make this thing better. And right now I'm just recording things through my microphone and a camera. So I'll get a better equipment eventually, and then it'll be better. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This is Tim, and this is the Inkcast screenwriting podcast. I'm out for the week. Holla.